Well, my brothers and my sisters, I thank you once again for tuning in, even in this new decade, as we are now in the year of 2020. I want to thank you, my brothers and my sisters, for taking the time out to hear what thus saith the Lord on today. My brothers and my sisters, if you've been watching the news, as I'm sure you've had, if you've been listening to the radio, as I pray that you're doing right now, we see that there is a lot going on in our country. And this calls for me to ask the question to the Lord. I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, why do we fight? And the Lord has given me a message that I would like to give to you on today. And the scripture on today will be coming from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. My brothers and my sisters, typically I do not read the text, but today the urgency is certainly here with all that is going on in our nation. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, it reads as such. It says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." You know, my brothers and my sisters, I want to say today that we all face conflict, and most of us hate it. Most of us hate conflict, but James is blunt about the source of our conflict, and this is both painful yet helpful, and we can overcome the pressure of conflict by identifying its source and pursuing the humility that sets pleasing God as its chief aim. You know, my brothers and my sisters, with so much going on in the world today, it is definite that we need the Lord like never before. You know, my brothers and my sisters, with my profession, one of the things that I do a lot is counseling. I do counseling a lot, and I usually start at the same place when doing couples counseling. I begin by asking the couples to express the greatest source of their difficulties together. And their answers are somewhat diverse. Usually it has to do with something of money or children or some other outside stressor on their relationship. Occasionally it will be more specific things like a lack of trust, spiritual differences, or extended family issues. Most couples counseling spends a majority of the time attempting to iron out differences. While there is value in doing this, James seems to take a different route. He gets straight to the heart of conflict, and we like to blame things like our anger or something else at times. We think to ourselves, if this would change, then I would no longer have to be mad. I would no longer have to be angry if this would change. You'll find that James would have us look at the source of our conflict instead of merely focusing on the triggers of conflict. Conflict is a result of the fall. Therefore, it, like the fall, touches every aspect of our lives. It not only marriages that are racked by conflict, it is in every human relationship, in every institution. Therefore, what James has to say to us is vital to everyday living. In James 1, 1 through 10, we just read that we see the source of our own conflict with man, our conflict with God, and the source of our conflict resolution. So point number one that I want to give you is the source of our own conflict with our fellow man. In James 4 and 1, James shows the source of our conflict. It says, in the cravings that are at war within you. The source of all relational conflict is a failure to please God. It's seen in our desires, it's seen in our lack of asking, and it's seen in our asking with the wrong motives. You'll come to find that failure to please God, our failure or the other person's or both, is the ultimate cause of all relational conflict. And that you can bank on. Whenever there is conflict, one or both parties are not pleasing God. Whenever there's conflict, there's somebody that is not pleasing God. So I want to ask you today, what side are you on when it comes to conflict? Are you on the side that pleases God, or are you on the side that displeases God? Because you cannot be in disagreement and both be in agreement with God. Anytime there is disagreement, there is discord, and someone somewhere is not in relationship with God. One of the things that we have to find is that this is actually really good news, because conflict is confusing, and we could spend our entire lives attempting to unravel the specifics of relational conflict. Thankfully, the scriptures make it simple. At the heart of all relational conflict is a failure to please God. And this truth can redirect us to focus on what really matters. Namely, we must always be focused on pleasing God. So not only number one, the source of our conflict within our fellow man, but number two, the source of our conflict with God, my Lord, the source of our conflict with God. In James 4 and 4, James quickly moves into our conflict with the Lord. And this helps us to see that the lines between conflict with God and man are often quite blurry. God is in conflict with the world system. Here, the world reflects to the fallen world system. God is opposed to the fallen and idolatrous desires of the world. God is in conflict with us when we make friendship with the world. He calls it adultery. God is to be our lover and not the fallen world system. We are to love God first. That was one of the greatest commandments. He said that I am your God and that you would have no gods before me, that we should not put anything before we put our God. For don't you know that God is jealous for our affection? The Lord is jealous for our affection. The same disordered affections that cause our conflict with our fellow man also causes conflict with our spouse. We cannot have hearts that ask God in order to spend it on our evil desires and still expect to be a friend of God. Scripture is clear. The world's friend becomes God's enemy. The world's friend becomes God's enemy. My brothers and my sisters, what we have to understand is the source of conflict resolution. We have to realize that for every one of our issues, we must be willing to bring about conflict resolution. And James outlines a few heart attitudes that will lead to conflict resolution before us, our fellow man and God. These heart attitudes may not resolve every conflict, but they will certainly put us in the favorable position of pleasing God. I want you to know something, that it all begins with grace. Grace is never received by the proud. Grace is the balm the humble long for. Grace drenched humility. We want grace drenched humility. We must submit to God. It says, resist the devil, seek purity, direct our emotions, and it will lead to exaltation. Humility is the path resolving to conflict. Humility is the path to resolving conflict. Humility will rightly value God above self, and therefore the pull of the world system will lose its luster. Humility will also cause us to pursue godliness in the midst of conflict. It will help us confess our sin before man and God, and will also assist us as we strive to continue pleasing God in the midst of an inevitable human conflict. My brothers and my sisters, I love you, I do. But in conclusion of this message, I want you to know something that I want us to reflect on the book of James chapter 4. One of the things that we'll come to find that in the author and biblical counselor David Powelson, he reflects upon the hope of James chapter 4. And one of the joys of biblical ministry comes when you are able to turn on the lights in another person's dark room. My Lord, one of the biblical joys in ministry is when you are able to turn on the light in another person's dark room. I've told you at the beginning that I do counseling on a regular, and I have yet to meet a couple today that is locked in hostility and the accompanying fear of self-pity, hurt, or self-righteousness. I have yet to meet a couple who really understood and reckoned with their motives. James 4, 1 through 3 teaches that the cravings underlie conflict. So, why do you fight? Why do we fight? It's not because of my spouse or my friend. It's because of something about you. Couples who see what rules them, their cravings for affection, their attention, their power, their vindication, their control, their comfort, a hassle-free life. You can repent and find God's grace made real to each and every one of you, and then learn how to make peace. The bluntness of James diagnosis can be a hard pill to swallow, but it is also filled with grace. May we acknowledge our role in conflict and pursue pleasing God in the midst of conflict, whether we are at fault or not. I always tell people that your greatest showing of maturity is when you can apologize even when you aren't wrong. Because sometimes you have to forgive yourself for letting yourself stay in a situation. So my question today is this. As we know, the Bible says, how can you love the Father whom you have not seen when you have an ought with your brother whom you see every day? That we have to understand that we have to love ourselves. We have to be able to love ourselves, love our neighbors, and love God. That is the order that we must be able to love God. My brothers and my sisters, we wrestle not between flesh and blood, but of principalities and powers in dark places and evil places. So my brothers and my sisters, why do we fight? We have to find in us why we are fighting. My brothers and my sisters, I enjoyed my time here with you, but I want to give to you a nugget that I leave you with now, as I've left you with every time, my brothers and my sisters, and that is this, that the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you, my brothers and my sisters. If you are fighting, find the right resolution that you would be back inside the will of God. I love you, my brothers and my sisters. Be blessed. Have a good one.